bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Sunday night entertainment at the King's Landing Arena. In the red corner, you know him, you love to hate him. Half a chromosome apart from Down syndrome, the product of an incestuous relationship of two evil siblings, the reigning champion of the evil douchebag title, King Joffrey! In the blue corner, the challenger. It's a glass, it's a cup, no one knows what the fuck it is or who the hell touched it last when no one else was looking. A goblet of questionable wine! Let's get ready to poison! And welcome to the Game of Thrones after show, after Woo! Episode 2. I'm Western Echo.
I'll tell you what, I was ready for it.
Everybody was ready for it. I was ready for it for a year.
I think we've all been ready for it since season 1.
I defy you to find somebody who wasn't just breathless with anticipation of this.
I will challenge anyone to find somebody who was genuinely upset by it.
Well, I listened to 360 at 420 and JJ's wife apparently was not very impressed. I think she's the only one on the entire planet, but that's okay.
All right, well, before we get to that awesome stuff,
yeah,
we need to break down the beginning of the episode.
Right. So, well, there's...
First of all, it was written by George R.R. Martin, so that's awesome.
He actually wrote this one. He didn't just advise
yes.
on it. Okay.
So, that's cool. I think he wrote back in, like, season 2 also.
All right.
I don't know. It's one of them. He's written, like, or season 1. He's definitely written, like, a few episodes, but not a lot, but a few.
Yeah, he does the same thing that Whedon does with his shows. He occasionally steps in and writes an episode or two, but mostly...
Probably, like, the really important ones.
Yeah. Whedon does the same thing. He really sticks to taking ownership of really important key storylines.
Like, yeah, really,
points.
Really big.
He just lets the little people do all the little work.
Yeah. Although I would argue the showrunners have been very, very good, so.
I'm saying little people would love.
No, okay. true. Not like Joffrey. Joffrey doesn't treat the little people so well.
So there's a lot of thing came out in this episode, and a lot of thing, as we were talking about earlier, a lot of people have missed a lot of things that happened in this episode. Because,
there was a lot of shit.
Quite frankly, the whole King Joffrey thing just blew everything else away. So everybody
well,
kind
it overshadows
forgot that the
a lot
rest
of stuff,
the episode happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, literally, right at the beginning, it's already, like, there's a bunch of shit going on. With Ramsay.
Yeah, there's that. There's, first, what's his name? Confessor that he did not kill the youngest.
Oh, Theon, they got him to... Dude, that was awesome scene. Like, literally, it's just him displaying how, like, his control over Theon by having him, like, shave him.
I don't think it, you know, I don't think it took really that much to break Theon. He's not the kind of person who really had spine to begin with.
No, but I do. He's really sort of been solidified as far as like,
yeah,
he's not Theon anymore.
He's really a male version of Sansa.
No,
I think so.
No, I love Sansa.
I've been having this debate all day with my brother, who's he's read much further in the books, but he's just pointing out that George R.R. Martin wrote her character as just this. Little head in the clouds romantic girl who dreams about knights and rescues and all these heroic things. And my point was that, yeah, that's who she might be incidentally, but how spineless she is really an indicator of quite a typical woman of that time. Just no will, kind of everything. She's pretty much being told what to do with her life, and
well,
she accepts
it. But also,
it.
What can she do about it?
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm just saying that she's more of an accurate representation of that the woman of such a time, and I think the fact that she might be a little bubbly has maybe some effect in it, but not a lot.
Well, I think, like, to be fair, like, she starts the series, she's like 11 when the series begins, or she's like a kid, and so she's all like caught up in this, like, oh, here's this glorious prince and I'm gonna be swept away and become queen and it's gonna be glorious and all this lovely stuff, and then like it sort of turns, and then she's realizing how fucked up and shitty life actually is, and then literally she can't do anything about it. She's a hostage in King's Landing. Like, what is she gonna do? She can't like fight her way out. They'll kill her instantly. or worse, they'll just imprison her somewhere else, worse, like off. Like, but I do think it's what's interesting though is she's now learning how to play all this game from everybody else. Like Margaery, Cersei, all these people, like she was a child when she came to King's Landing and now she's like grown and she's learned all this shit now to the point that I'm fairly certain she's just going to be able, she can manipulate if she really wanted to.
So you think she's a future breakout character, that her time is still coming?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen because not only is she learning from all these other characters, but at the same time, like she's playing it fine. Like remember the battle episode? Like,
yeah.
She was literally talking to Joffrey and being like, oh, are you going to be on the front lines, and sort of goading him to go out there because she knows he'll die if he goes out to fight.
I really hope so because I'm just so tired of screaming at my TV every time her stupid face comes on. Because she just can't do or say anything right. Everything she does, she just digs herself deeper and deeper in. And you're right, there's nothing she can do about it.
No, there's literally nothing.
She's completely hopeless. You're just this is really the ultimate case of bad time. She was just at the wrong place at the wrong time when the show.
It's just like a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing. Like if she does something, she says something. Yeah, what's it gonna be for like a minute? No, and then like if she doesn't do anything, it's just the same situation. There's really nothing. There's nothing she can do.
I like I said, I really hope she grows a spine at some point. That would make me quite happy. That I could focus on hitting the right people.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like I will say this, like during the wedding when they had all the like the midgets running around doing all like the really horrible thing. Everybody else is looking away. Everyone of these supposedly strong characters, like Loras, can't watch it. All these people, and she's literally sitting there watching it. Like that proves a point to me, I think, of her basically saying like, no, I'm better than all of you.
Probably. All right, we talked about this a little bit last week. What is Shay's goddamn problem?
Oh my god, I literally was like, why? What the fuck? Like that scene was emotional though, like where he's like telling her to leave and he's like screaming at her. Like that was sad, but at the same time, I'm like, you need to realize that it's dangerous. Like,
but you know what? Here's what I have somewhat of a problem with writing and with the subplot. Yes, I understand this. It's modern fiction. I understand where George Martin is going with this. But again, a woman in that time and those circumstances, you know, she's not just at some palace thinking she's going to get away. She knows exactly the kind of people she's around.
Yeah.
The balls on that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's like, I'm just like, it's not even, like, I don't understand what, like, she, I don't know what the point is. Like, she's just like, oh, Tyrion, let's do that. And you're like, what, like, what are you, what fantasy land are you living in right now?
Exactly. Listen, we both know, you know what you do, I know what you do. We both know what everybody else does. You're really going to be opening your mouth now.
Yeah.
Especially at this critical juncture.
Really? Yeah. It's like, just, I don't understand what her fucking deal is at this point. Like.
And Tyrion
she's going to get a nice place in the Free Land.
You know, Tyrion did everything in his power to, you know, break it off. Not even break it. He wanted just to explain. He wanted to let her go, not even break it off. He wanted to do it nicely. She kept being needy. He had to come up with this whole speech he gave her, which pretty much broke her heart, which is fine.
Really? Yeah.
But he had to do it because she wouldn't fucking let go.
Exactly.
Oh, that was infuriating.
It's one of like the justifiable time to be like, go away, whore.
And he, like, he keeps repeating, you're a whore. I can't
because
have kids
it's
with
the
a
one
whore.
Thing that it's going to like drive the point home, I think.
I don't think he was trying to drive the point home. I think he was just trying to say as many hurtful things to pretty much force her to want to leave.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant. Like, he was trying to hurt her as much as he possibly could so she would go away. But yeah.
Which we all now think that, we're told that she may have. Which we're gonna,
yes.
I guess, find a little later. I'm not really good in keeping the suspense. I'm pretty much letting it all right now. I think everybody figured out that she's probably not gone.
Yeah. Basically.
Basically, yeah. And,
Yeah, it's gonna be rough.
It's gonna be rough for her.
But also awesome. For her, totally. But for someone else, let's just say I'll be just as happy seeing this other person die.
There's gonna be I'm looking forward to a few things which are gonna make me very happy. Although, I don't know. See, in the retro, I'm just so used to hating Joffrey that I don't know how I can transfer all this emotion to.
Oh, I know where it's gonna go.
Oh, I know. I know exactly where it's gonna go.
It's gonna go to Peter Baelish. That's exactly where my hatred is gonna go.
Because,
like, Ramsay Snow, like, he is a psycho, but I don't hate him for some reason.
I don't think he's
like
one
he's
of
hunting
those
people, but I'm like,
Yeah, he's a dog. He's a pit bull.
Yeah, kind of that's why that scene is so perfect.
Eventually he's gonna get his, and we're gonna move on. You're right. I don't have any kind of like him strong hatred toward him either.
It's not like Joffrey. Like Joffrey, I was like, I hate you. Well, but then like every time he's on the screen, I want to punch the screen. Well, but then Joffrey, like with Ramsay, I'm like, all right.
Joffrey made it his entire life to pretty much focus on hurting everybody he possibly can, without exception.
Right.
There isn't one person he does not want to just ruin in the moment. That includes his mother. It probably includes his father, too. He would if he weren't terrified of him, which is the only smart thing he is.
Right.
He really knows how to... And even I don't even think he really kept his mouth shut around his father all that much. He slipped up once or twice.
Oh, you mean... Wait, his real father or Robert? Jamie or Robert? Which one are you talking about?
Not father. I keep saying father.
Grandfather. Tywin.
Grandfather. Tywin. Yeah. I apologize.
Oh, no, he definitely did. He acted all cocky, and Tywin was like, shut up.
And I think Tywin only had to give him one look for Joffrey to know, it's time for me to shut up now.
Yeah, he was like the only person I think he was afraid of. Rightfully so, because I would be fucking terrified of Tywin.
Overdeveloped alpha male, a sense of alpha male.
Basically.
And then... There was the moment which, as we mentioned before, everybody waited for, probably 11, 10 months. Because, honestly, I really thought they were going to follow the plot along with the book. So I thought they were going to get it last season. And then I started noticing toward 7th, 8th episodes that we're not really where we're supposed to be.
Anywhere close to that.
But I was really hoping that they just shuffled things around. And they did, only they shuffled it now.
Right. Well, I think so. Next episode is going to be, I don't know, like, do you think we're going to see the immediate aftermath or just a little bit of it? Like the opening scene is going to be the immediate aftermath.
They're
and then
gonna drag out the aftermath for a couple of episodes because
like I think the next episode is going to be the immediate like reaction. And then episode 4 is going to be the trial because next episode seems to be mostly Daenerys focused.
I wouldn't even think that they're going to get the trial. Well, you know what? I keep saying I wouldn't, and then it happens. I didn't think they were going to get to Joffrey dying this episode, and they did.
We didn't even talk about Bran yet.
Let's go there.
We should just go in order. So let's just begin with Ramsay Snow, I guess, which we've already kind of covered him, but like he's like hunting people in the woods.
Yeah, and he likes close shaves.
He does, very close shaves.
I don't know. I don't think
in front of his father while displaying power.
Yeah, while completely ripping what's-his-name apart again.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. I don't think no matter how I broke a person, I would never have the balls to do that.
I know. He's got balls. Like, now he's literally like...
Is that balls or is that he just really doesn't know when to shut up?
No, I think it's balls. And then I think it's also him trying to prove to his father that he's worthy of the name Bolton and that he doesn't care if he dies in the process.
Now, he's the bastard son, so he's...
He is the bastard son.
He's a Snow.
Yeah, they say that in the beginning of the episode. They're like, Roose is basically like, he's a Snow, he's not a Bolton.
So, wouldn't he be related to our other favorite person?
No, that's just a common... That's just the bastard last name in the North.
All right.
So, if you're just a bastard, you get the name Snow. Like, they all have... Each region has their own bastard name. That's why Ilaria's is Sand. And in Dorne, it's Sand, and then in King's Landing, I think it's like Waters, which is why Gendry's last name is Waters.
Okay. Now I wonder how he came up with these terms. Why Snow specifically? Just because it's in the North?
Probably because of the North.
Okay.
Just the region.
Yeah. So he in the party of
where the Tyrells are. It's like I think the last name is Flowers.
Ah. Okay.
Because Highgarden and all that. It's all like that's their sigil. So I think it just has to do with the region. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to go and look for the youngest now.
Bran and Rickon.
And at the same time, they still really haven't, touched on the sister who supposedly grabbed a couple of ships.
Still missing?
Yeah. No, she's grabbed a couple of ships and she's supposedly on the way to rescue him. That was at the end of last season.
Yeah, Asha.
Yes.
Or Yara in the show, but her name's Asha.
It should be.
And they should just fucking change it. They should be like, oh no, it's Asha Greyjoy now. And just nobody comments on it at all. Because I hate the name of the show. I'm like, I don't understand why they changed her name, but whatever.
They took some minor liberties with that.
I think it's so we wouldn't get it confused with Osha.
That's probably why.
But they're clearly different characters, and I will not, but whatever. Yeah, so, like, basically, like, yeah, they haven't touched on her yet, so I wonder when she's going to show up. Is she just going to come in and attack the Dreadfort? Like, is that what's going to happen?
I haven't read that far. I wonder at which point she's gonna come into play.
Unless maybe it's just when they go to try to take back the North from the Ironborn, and she's just there.
That's quite possible.
Like, that could be, like, she could be the one who kills the dude who cut off Jamie's hand. I forget his name. But then to tell him, like, where's my brother? Where's this?
Every time I look at him, I think of the six-fingered man from Princess Bride.
Yeah, right?
It's the same outfit, same stupid goatee.
I know. I looked at him, I was like, wait. Every time I look at him, I think he should be singing for System of a Down, but...
You're right, he does look like that guy.
I'm just, like, waiting. I'm like, oh.
What a collection of misfits. Holy shit.
Really?
That whole film, the Boltons are just creeps.
The Boltons, like, it's just, like, no, literally, even, like, the women around there are just weird.
All right, when they arrive,
I'm jealous,
and they
so I'm
take
shoot
this
you with this arrow.
700-pound woman, show her to her quarters. She looks like she just ate two other women. What is up with that one?
She's a Frey.
Ay.
He married one of the Freys. That was, like, his deal with Walder Frey. For the Red Wedding shit. Oh, we haven't even gone back to see if Edmure's okay.
No, they're taking their time with that.
I don't think we're all that concerned at the moment.
They're just letting everybody. I think they really kept this episode focused on the obvious.
On the right people,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, they kind of they gave a couple of side plot tidbits, but mostly. And then they noticed that they spent the first half hour pretty much on other things, and then almost continuously the last 20-25 minutes was all just the wedding.
Yeah,
they didn't really jump from that storyline.
Well, I liked that we sort of got to experience it, like, as far as, like, this is what's happening and this is happening, because it does make the ending a little bit more shocking, but at the same time, like, if you know what's coming.
I think if you know nothing about the show, but if you see how the, like, the side plots, they kind of jump from one to the other for the first half hour, and then suddenly you just focused on one thing, I think you begin
you
to
know
suspect,
something big
yeah,
is happening.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Yeah, like, you're basically just sort of like, okay, why should we expect something? And then plus, Reigns of Castamere is playing like three times in the episode, so you're like, oh, okay, something's happening.
Yep.
Because we've all recognized that from the Red Wedding at this point. Game of Thrones knows how to do weddings.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Right. I forget, I posted something stupid on Facebook after that, something I tried to stay as vague as possible, and my brother commented, I think his comment was, that moment when you realize that Cersei's wedding, after all it's said and done, was the most polite and pleasant event of the entire book series so far.
Really?
As much as she may have hated it at the time.
Mm. She hated it for years, too.
What a pleasant event.
Yeah, overall, pretty okay. not too bad.
No, not too shabby at all.
Pretty shitty, but still not that shitty.
And got some dancing, got some laughs, and nobody raped you.
Yeah. Hooray. Or stabbed you horribly, or poisoned you.
Which I imagine in that time, success.
Yeah, really. That is a successful fucking wedding. I would argue their marriage was pretty successful, too.
Well, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Still horrible, but eh.
Considering Tyrion's now accused of poisoning King Joffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
And
we'll
to think, you know what, quite actually, from her point of view, just when she managed to grow half a ball and stand up for herself in a subtle way, the way
yeah.
she kind of got up and brought the goblet
she's
to...
She's very, it's a lot of subtleties with her.
And now this shit happens. And now she has to go on a defensive again. And now she has to be afraid for her life again.
Yeah. Well, one guy shows up, he's like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Now, what was up with that guy? I didn't know why he was trying to get her out.
Because I'm pretty sure he was involved with the whole...
Was he one of the Tyrell's house people?
No, he was the fool.
Okay.
The one who gave her the necklace.
Oh, is that the one who
time?
Gave her the necklace? Okay.
Yes. So this is what I'm saying. So my thing is, I think... I'm just going to go into it. I think Olenna... Well, I know she's the one who is responsible for poisoning Joffrey. Okay.
You want to pause now?
Yeah, I'll be back in like 10 minutes.
All right, cool.
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow, down, wow, dilly, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something, something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
I meant
doing?
I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio. You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
The wicked old witch at last is dead.
And we're back from the break. All I wanted to do all day long is to play this. I've literally downloaded this early in the morning, and I've just been drooling over this clip. Right, so, moving on, where did we leave off?
We were talking about, I'm pretty sure, who poisoned Joffrey.
Right, so I still, and you told me to rewatch that scene, which I did twice, while you were walking the dog, because mine, I walk pretty quickly.
Yes.
And I still can't see what you're pointing out. So explain.
Okay. So, the necklace Sansa got from Ser Dantos or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ser Dantos is the guy who gave Sansa the necklace last week.
Yeah, and he, just for in case anybody can't remember, he was the one who was about to be executed, and Sansa helped spare his life.
And now he's Joffrey's fool.
Yeah, and he's the one who showed up half drunk, stumbling all over himself. And that's when he gave her the necklace during the last episode. Okay.
So he gave her this necklace, and it's like got like purple stones on it.
Okay.
Anyway, so who I think planned this whole thing is Olenna, the Queen of Thorns, Margaery's grandmother. I don't know whether Margaery was in on it or not. She may have well have been. She could have just dropped it into the cup. Those two are definitely involved. And Peter Baelish.
I don't think Margaery is the type of person who is kept in the dark.
Yeah, I think definitely it was Olenna, the Queen of Thorns, and Peter Baelish. Like, Peter Baelish is definitely involved.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Anyway, okay. So what I think, so the one scene where Olenna comes up to Sansa, and it's just her, they're just talking, and she's talking about, I never got the chance to tell you how sorry I was about your brother. Terrible thing for someone at a wedding. It's a terrible thing or something like that. So what she's doing, she's like playing with her hair, with Sansa's hair during the scene. And she takes one of the stone, and then she plays with the necklace, and then she takes one of the stones off the necklace. And it's like the far, either left or right. It's like all the way at the end. It's there and then it's gone. And so like she takes it, and that's where I think they put the poison in. It was in one of the stones. And so she takes it, and this is why I think Margaery may have been involved, because she either passed it to Margaery to put in the cup, or she just dropped it in.
The far on the left, the one that's kind of half peeking from underneath her hair?
Yes.
Yeah, because you see all of these stones that are about five dead center, and the one on the left, which is kind of half hidden, yeah, it does look like it's missing a gem.
It's gone.
So you think, but why would they Olena need to took smuggle? It. Okay.
They hid it because who's going to suspect Sansa? But also, I also think they were trying to frame Tyrion too.
But it's,
Like, if you think about it, if Peter Baelish is involved, which he definitely is, because he's involved in all this shit, who would you want to frame? Especially, he could have organized with Joffrey to have the whole midget thing going on, because you know it's going to offend him, and you know Joffrey is going to attack Tyrion all
That's
the time.
A good point. Tyrion is
That's
a pretty
easy assumption.
Clear-cut scapegoat. I mean, you don't really have to try much. Just kind of make sure he's in the same room, and he's definitely going to get blamed somehow.
Exactly. And he's already gone and insulted Joffrey a couple times. He's already gone, and he's, like, unafraid to smack him. Like, it's all these things have just been building.
Yeah,
it's and if you take it, hide it in Sansa's necklace, take her away, it looks like they've both been involved together.
Yeah, that's what they call a precedent, and there's definitely enough of it in Tyrion's past.
Exactly. So, like, not even, like, that, but then, like, I don't think there's any way of predicting that Tyrion's going to be the one to hand him the cup or anything like that, but I do think eventually it would have people would have either thought it was Tyrion.
Just because
or
he
would have been away.
Close enough.
But the fact that the whole thing with the cup, like, I think that just sort of made it even better.
It would make complete sense because of how just strangely and quite frankly, if you've watched the show long enough and you're familiar with the time and the characters and how things are done, you see the way the mother is kind of taking to Sansa. It's almost unnatural. Why would she have this interest in her?
Right.
So this would explain that all this time she's just kind of been warming up to kind of to be able to put herself in this position when she can do this.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy with that explanation for now. the little that I know, and even my brother kind of who's right ahead, and I don't think it still hasn't been made clear who's done it. Not even way ahead in the books. And that's
no,
not gonna,
like they don't know for sure who did it.
Yeah, that's not gonna be made clear for. I don't even think he wrote it yet. It might be in the very last book.
No, I mean he had to already know. He has to know who did it because. He wrote this episode.
Yeah, he does, but he hasn't revealed it in the books either.
No, but I mean, if that whole thing with the gem, if that's there, like, we know Olenna is involved.
Well, it's definitely the House of Tyrell. That's not even a question. Oh, yeah. They absolutely have planned this entire thing.
But Baelish could have organized
it. It's just a question of how.
Right, it's just, like, how and who exactly.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So but I do think, I mean, there's no question that the grandmother is definitely involved. And you even notice, like, it would have been so easy for her to just, you know, drop the gem in the, or the poison into his cup. I mean, it was right there. Marjorie grabs it and hands it to him, like.
Yes, you know what? If you think about this in the evil mastermind, I mean, that's pretty much, that's a very good setup. I mean, they've got everybody, it's that they've got all these strategic key players in positions. They've got.
Everybody's where they need to be.
Yeah, they've got Sansa who's carrying the thing. They've got Tyrion who's close enough to be able to be blamed. They've got Marjorie who's a backup, who definitely can react,
exactly.
Depending on the moment. So they've got a lot of people around all ready to pick up and kind of fill in. To make sure that it goes through.
Right. You have that. It's right there.
A couple of side things kind of related to the Game of Thrones. It's Maisie Williams' birthday today. She's turned 17.
Aww.
So happy birthday, Maisie. And she recently had an interview and she talked about season 4. And it's one of the links that I posted. I'm going to post it in Skype chat for you again. Yeah. Yeah, right. So Arya Stark actress talks Game of Thrones season 4, and it's actually a very short article, a couple of paragraphs only. This is kind of, because we mentioned this last week about where she's heading, both plot-wise and mentally, as far as her character development goes, and she said that, this is what, I kind of going to start from the middle. She hinted at Arya's darker side, and here's a quote. So Robb Stark has done wrong for that to happen, and they've been told from someone higher than that.
Williams said Arya's fighting for the good, but the Frey guards, one of whom she killed her brother and mother at the Red Wedding because he did not marry a Frey girl.
Right.
And so she hinted at, she's like, so Robb Stark has done wrong for that to happen, like for because he didn't marry the right person.
Oh,
and they've been told from someone higher that that's their job to do.
Okay.
Like the soldier. So, like, so killing that Frey soldier was not necessarily the right thing to do, but she's doing it for the good of Arya. I do feel like my character is slowly slipping into this almost more selfish side of killing people, that actually it's more for personal pleasure at times than being the right thing to do.
Yeah, but we discussed this last week, so she's definitely heading toward the path of becoming some sort of a very skilled assassin. And she definitely you could see this in her face, she took pleasure last episode in doing what she did.
Oh, yeah.
She enjoyed the fuck out of that.
That was a shining moment where she was like, this is awesome. Like, that was just, that's like the first step, like this vengeance.
Now, the interesting thing is that it's one of those cause and effect thing. did she get to it fully on her own, or is that maybe finding a way to enjoy it or so way of dealing with everything she's seeing?
Yeah.
It could be a bit of both.
It is. I definitely agree. It's probably
she's already she was already stuck in this hopeless situation that she definitely has no way out, at least not on her own. So she has to kind of find a way to be a part of it. Maybe that's one of the things she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know what I want to say about this. Like, it's kind of like she's learning to enjoy it. She also probably genuinely does enjoy it because she's making them pay for all these wrongs.
It definitely helps her, the fact that she's doing it as a form of revenge against people who have hurt her family before.
Yeah. And so she's sort of like, she's enjoying that she's making them pay. And then at the same time, I think she definitely feels very justified in it.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, how could you not, really?
I would be.
Yeah, I would be like, all right, well, this is right. This is the right thing to do.
You ever have those moments when you sit and you watch the scene like that and you just suddenly, through your head, you go through all the possible ways you can make it even more painful and prolong as long as possible?
Yeah.
It was like, you know what? That guy died way too quickly. I mean, I'm glad she taunted him. And at the end, he finally realized who she was. But really, there's a couple of other places she could have cut him and let him bleed for a really long time.
Yeah, but I think this is just the first kill. Let's be honest. She's gonna perfect the art.
She was just happy to get it all over with, right? Okay.
Yeah, so she's gonna...
That was not her first kill. Her first kill was a couple of episodes before in the last season, but it was...
It was an accident. That was the accidental one.
Yeah, accidental kill. You're right. Yeah, this is the first intentional one that she's really thought through for at least a few minutes.
Yeah. This is the one where she was like, oh, I have a whole plan and a whole thing.
Next thing that I found, I had it delivered to me on Google Alerts. Game of Thrones season 4 premiere, and I know I'm going a little bit back, but all of these stories, they're at a little bit of delay. Breaks piracy records. I just posted that on Skype chat as well. And with more than 1 million downloads in half a day, the premiere of Game of Thrones 4th season has set up new piracy record. People from all over the world grabbed a copy, and its height this morning, over 300,000 BitTorrent users were sharing the episode simultaneously.
Shit. Now,
somebody made it their job to collect the listing of the IP addresses involved, of which there were 18,333.
Whew.
Now, I know I'm not sharing anything of the kind, so I know my IP address is not there, but I have definitely access to a few of those. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And they give a chart here by country. Apparently, the U.S. was not at the top of the list. Australia was at the top of the list, number one.
That makes sense.
11, yeah, they're all criminals there. 11.6% of all the downloads were from Australia. U.S. came in second. With 9.3%, and United Kingdom was third, 5.8%.
Damn.
And then there's Canada. So all the English-speaking countries obviously were up, and then you got all the smaller countries. But, yeah, people did not want to wait until it gets syndicated or shown in their country. They just illegally download the shit.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I can't blame them.
I don't blame them at all.
I do the same thing. Allegedly, 7 years ago, someone I know by proxy may have done this with a couple of BBC shows.
Possibly.
Like a couple of hours after they've been aired in the UK, they might accidentally find their way on someone's computer, let's say in my vicinity.
Basically.
Not necessarily immediate one, but around.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually. 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And then there's a story that I kind of didn't get to last week, but you had to have anticipated this. Game of Thrones influence seeps into birth certificates of the next generation. Oh, this is all a good idea now. It's not going to be a good idea 10, 15 years from now. Here's the article. Sex, violence, and dragons are hot these days. Yes, they are. So hot that the premiere of the first episode completely broke HBO Go for a few hours. We talked about this. Now, new baby name data for the year 2012 from Social Security Administration that shows that the increasing number of parents are branding their Sunday night or streaming on DVD later obsession on their children for life. In 2012, 146 newborn babies were named Khaleesi.
What? Oh,
that's not going to backfire when they go to high school. Cause
look, here's the thing. I don't care. It's cool that you want to name your kids after, like characters. But why Khaleesi? That's just a title. Like, why don't you just name them Daenerys? You can call them Dany.
Well, they go into it. The completely fictional title from the mind of the author, George R.R. Martin, assigned to the character Daenerys Targaryen, better known as Mother of Dragons. The name didn't register at all on their 2010 list last year because series premiered on HBO. Apparently, more American parents think Khaleesi is a nicer sounding way to pay tribute than Daenerys.
Than Daenerys?
Which I don't understand at all.
Who?
Does it roll off the tongue a little better?
Daenerys?
I don't know.
Who the fuck thinks Khaleesi sounds better than Daenerys?
Yeah, Daenerys did score 21.
Daenerys sounds
babies.
Pretty, at least.
I think so.
It sounds like a real name.
They're both pretty, but if you know anything about the show, you wouldn't be an idiot and you would just name the child Daenerys if you
like
really
you can call them Dany.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this makes
Daenerys
me sorry.
Is completely doable, and it's not. You're right. It's not gonna sound douchey 20 years from now.
No, you can just be like, oh, just call me Dany.
Yeah.
Like that's not that hard. Oh my god, that makes me so angry.
Unrelated news, that's all I'm going to be calling her from now when anytime she comes on TV. Just call her Dany.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Dany. Dany doesn't get nude anymore. Damn it.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying. This bothers me. Or, like, yeah. Like there's other names, too. Like, oh, my God, there's other names that sound like real names. Arya. Wait,
it gets kind of more interesting. It says, we can't get a complete picture of what states are most obsessed with Khaleesi because Social Security won't report data for a name unless at least 5 instances of in a state for security reasons. Fine. So the vast majority of states only saw between 0 and 4 infants named after the dragon mother in 2012, with the most popular states like California, 30, New York, 14, Florida, 14, and Texas, 10.
Of course.
Leading the way.
Of course.
Blah, blah, blah. Khaleesi. Yeah. Okay, so this whole thing is about Khaleesi. Okay, so I wanted to move on a little further. Nationwide in 2012, Khaleesi was a more popular name.
I would name my kid Marjorie.
Well, Marjorie is fairly new. I don't think her character has sunk in with people yet.
I don't care. I would name her that over Khaleesi. Like, if you really, oh my
over
god.
Over Khaleesi, yes. But as far as paying tribute to characters,
no,
I'm guessing
no, I get it.
Daenerys is really the kind of well.
Made me so angry. It's like naming your kid Queen. Go fucking punch the kid.
I'm pretty sure someone did.
Every day. At school, every day. Oh, and then I would go, oh, what are you going to do now?
At least they should.
What like, literally, I would come, if I was a kid in school, like, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if I was a kid in school, which okay. I won't be, but if I was a kid at this time, and there was somebody named Khaleesi, I'd be like, oh, what are you going to do now, Mother of Dragons, punch him, what are you going to do, burn me? I would probably try to light them on fire. And then I would go, oh, I thought fire didn't kill a dragon. I don't know.
He's like, what's your name? Khaleesi, what's your name? What's your middle
no,
name?
No, seriously.
I'm just gonna call you by that.
Jesus. Why?
My middle name is Latrine. Good, let's call you that.
Good, I'm going to call you your middle
better
name.
Better than Khaleesi.
Yeah, literally, if I was a teacher, I'd be like, what's your name? Khaleesi, what's your middle name? And Abigail, I'm calling you Abigail. Guess what?
Yes, you're Abigail.
No,
fuck
no,
you.
I hate that. I'm renaming
you. I hate
you
and I hate your dragons now.
I hate you, I hate your name, and your parents are idiots. I'm going to call you something else.
Now, the next sentence, kind of, I need an explanation.
I'm just
going to
call
for.
You Blondie because you're blonde. Let's go.
Nationwide in 2012, Khaleesi was a more popular name than several classics like Sheila, Sandy, Betsy, and Betty.
Ew. The only ones I liked out of all of those were Betsy.
Isn't every one of these names is an ew name? How are they classics?
The one that was nice was Betsy, but that's because it's like Elizabeth.
Is there like what? Have there been generations of professional secretaries in the last 20 years?
God,
is that
really?
Why they're so? Like, all I picture is these fat old women in their, like, oldie PI office, you know, just typing away in an oldie typewriter. That's your Sheila, Sandy, Betsy, and Betty.
Seriously.
How are they popular
They're
names?
Side characters on Mad Men. Although I'm pretty sure Betsy is the name of his wife.
Literally, the only thing I have ever known to be named Betsy is a cow. Yeah. I don't even think I've known a person named Betsy. Maybe
not
of,
in real life.
But not in, no, not in real life, not personally.
I mean, Elizabeth, but nobody goes by Betsy.
So in the same year, I'm guessing they're talking about 2012, 20 newborn boys were named Tyrion. And a bias...
That I can forgive.
But a bias against people of smaller stature certainly may inform this.
What?
Yeah, I'm guessing they're thinking only 20 boys were named Tyrion because he's short.
No.
I'm not sure how. I mean,
who's getting this data and
allow?
How and where?
I don't know where. It's on Forbes.com.
Stupid.
Yeah. Joffrey doesn't register at all on the list.
No, that's
Shocker.
So shocking.
But let's count this as a good thing. You think? It also seems that a few parents
what a
funny are.
Joke.
Yeah. It also seems that a few parents are interested in naming their newborn daughter for another sympathetic female character, Sansa Stark.
Okay. Okay.
So are they implying that people feel bad for Sansa, so they're naming their kid Sansa? Is that it?
No. Well, yeah, but this does seem like they're implying that, even though, I don't know. It's not true, but whatever.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, I'm kind of happy that it's the phenomena is going this way, but I also think naming your kid
so Khaleesi
is just douchey.
It's so douchey. Just the Khaleesi is douchey. Like, I wouldn't care if it was like being named Daenerys. The fact that it's Khaleesi is what's bothering me.
There was also a thing I had called this one, Game of Thrones: 10 Things We Learned from Two Swords. Do you want to go through them or try?
We can try.
I'm doing it cold because I haven't actually read this article at all. Let me post this again. All
right. So this is, we're just going through articles from last week, and then we'll go back to...
No, this is actually after last week, but, you know, it was before this episode, so, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be in a bit of a delay, because there's really, not much has really come out on the latest episode. I'm sure we'll be seeing more things come out and get published in the next couple of days. But,
I'm
going to skip all the intro.
Yeah, the intro's dumb.
Yeah.
See, number 10, Jaime has given up his inheritance. Okay.
Which, did he actually give it, has he given it up?
Yeah, basically.
He just wanted to stay with being Kingsguard. How does he...
Well, yeah, he just went, I'm gonna stay in the Kingsguard, and they were just like...
Short of saying no to his father and pretty much telling him to go screw himself.
That's basically what happened.
Which I guess is the equivalent of giving up your inheritance, considering who your father is, especially.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I don't know if it's much of what we learned. Number 9. Jaime and Cersei are having relationship problems, you think?
No.
And how is what they were having before not called problems?
Yeah.
I mean, if in order to keep screwing your sister, you have to throw a 10-year-old off a, what is it, how many, fifth floor? Or how long? Yeah. I would say that was a coming.
But yeah, really. Next one, Joffrey doesn't think much Jaime.
That's another one of the... you know what? Joffrey doesn't think much of, insert any name here except Joffrey.
Literally, number 7 is, like, so obvious. That's not anything we learned. Number 7 is Arya still thirsts for revenge. Like, she's never... Like, why would she still be? Like, it's literally been, like, a week. Like, I don't... It's not...
I'm not sure what they're trying to say by this list. What is
like,
the,
what are you what implying? Is, she? When did she stop?
Unless the name of the person who wrote this was John Daw.
God. Adam...
Okay, Shay is, you know what, I really think it's a list of duh things, because look at number 6. Shay is angry at Tyrion.
No way.
Shay angry. Tyrion, call her whore. Shay leave.
Really?
What? Okay, number 5.
Sansa has a new admirer, which is the Ser Dantos guy.
Well, you and call him admirer.
Gave her the necklace, the poison necklace.
That's right, yeah.
The poison necklace. Jon Snow is being grilled by the Night's Watch leaders. Yeah, because they're like, well, that actually, okay, yes, we did learn. Because I would say we learned Jon survived getting hit with 3 arrows.
I think when they say you learn, they mean you have just seen in an episode.
Really?
I don't think it's really...
Same thing, yeah, number 3, things that we've just seen in the new episode. The Wildlings have formed a new alliance. This is literally all stuff we went over. The cannibals.
I wouldn't really call it an alliance. I think it's a temporary partnership. I don't see the Wildlings really... They might be the Wildlings, but there's certain integrity in their way of life, which I have a feeling is not part of this new tribe of cannibals.
No, they don't seem.
Daenerys
will punish more slavers. No way.
You think?
That's nothing new. Oh, well, this we actually did learn. There's bad blood between the Lannisters and Martells.
Yeah. Did you All try?
Right, so,
yeah.
Joffrey's death.
Joffrey.
Let's go back to how amazing that death was.
Yes. It was so... Okay, Joffrey's death was so amazing. I wish they'd resurrect him just so they could kill him again.
Here's the thing. Like, I was not sad at all. I literally was like, yes, this is happening. But then the second Cersei's, like, holding him and screaming, I was like, oh, now I feel kind of bad for her. We still haven't talked about Bran.
All right, you want to go back to Bran? Okay.
We should go back to Bran.
Let's go back to Bran.
Because that was actually an important thing. Melisandre was just talking to the princess. About religion.
Yeah, that scene was a throwaway. That's why I didn't want
to... It was a good scene, but you're just like, okay.
Yeah, Bran. Let's move on. Move back. So
Bran's on a psychic vision quest.
Yes.
Basically. and he was going, and he's living in summer, like the wolf. And then they're like, okay, now go touch this godswood tree. And he touches it, and then he has this vision.
So now he's going on a quest where?
North. They're just trying to find the three-eyed raven.
Okay.
Because that's going to, like, give him his, like, super work powers or whatever.
So they're going on a quest north. The Boltons are now haunting them.
Yes.
And what's his name? Sisters hunting the Boltons.
Yes.
And that all is going to culminate into something, I hope.
Probably episode 9. I don't know.
Extremely violent. Because God knows there's not enough of that in this show.
Nah. What I hope, though, is I hope that the sister and then the Boltons are just going to face off. Meanwhile, Bran gets away. Him and the Reeds.
Which is very likely what's going to happen. But,
oh, yeah, basically. I mean, they're going to get away.
Yeah, Bran's not going anywhere. Although, if they wanted to really... If George R. R. Martin really wanted to shock his readers, then that's probably who he'd kill off. Although, I don't see him doing that.
No, that would be too much. He's already killed off so many of the Starks.
But that's kind of what George R. R. Martin does. He likes to set... build the setup of a conventional storyline, and then he likes to completely turn a table on you and go, fuck you, you thought this was gonna happen? No, it's gonna be the exact opposite. So I wouldn't really put it past him to kill off people which you and I might think there is no way in hell they're gonna get killed. Like, Arya, is it at all possible that something's gonna happen to her? Do you
think? No, she better not die.
Well, but there's a difference between better not and absolutely won't. See, I have that feeling that there is no possible way anything, like, her storyline's gonna end. Bad
no,
things
I
might
think
happen
there's so
to her,
much
but
going on.
She can't die because everything's been built up for her. She's being built up as a very important plot character. But again, my point is, that's happened before, and that's really not a sign of anything long-term to come.
Yeah.
So, no, I wouldn't put it past him to do anything to anybody.
Yeah.
I know he's not going anywhere anytime soon, but I
wouldn't be surprised if Bran died. I will be surprised if it's Arya or Sansa, just because of them being so built up.
Well, to your point... But again, see, this is what the show has done to me. It's turning me into a complete... Like, it's... Jaded. I guess jaded. Is jaded the right word? Disenfranchised. Yeah, that's the right word. This show has turned me disenfranchised. I am afraid to have any expectations. I feel safer just kind of leaning back, and it's like, you know what, the joke about rape, the best way to survive rape, relax and enjoy. That's what I'm doing. At the beginning of the episode, I'm just leaning back and going, okay, how are they going to fuck me today?
Yeah, really.
And just wait for something to unfold. So yeah, definitely disenfranchised is a perfect way to describe it. And I think it's turning every fan into it, because nobody wants to get close to any any of the characters anymore because of that. Everybody, you ask anybody, they say, well, yeah, this guy, I like him, but they will... Okay, but the exception of... And the only thing, I think people really openly say they like Arya because they think she's the safest one to like.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's
with,
one of the biggest
Daenerys.
Reasons.
Like, I kind of think she's safe.
For now, yes.
All the hell she's got put through, I mean, I kind of think she's safe. Because I think there's a difference. Like, Robb Stark, it's just like, okay, I lost my father. Let me just go do this. And then you're sort of like, okay, well, your story was at an end. There wasn't really anywhere it could go. And then, like, with Daenerys and Arya, like, and Sansa, like, they're all being sort of built up. They've been put through all these, like, horrible, shitty, hellish things. They have to come out on top. Like...
Now, an interesting question for you.
Best.
Much like you've described the way the assassination of Joffrey was done, as we discussed earlier, with the key players strategically placed around that table to be able to back up the execution of the plan, however it may have gone. So you're right. So Margaery was definitely there. Since Tyrells were involved, she was definitely in the know, and she definitely were ready to assist. Somehow.
She had to be, because literally the entire time she's like deflecting. Like, she's being like, okay, Joffrey, come here, or Joffrey, do this, Joffrey, do this. Like, she's like trying to make it.
So here's a question for you on a grand, if you take the whole storyline, everything we've seen so far, and step back, and you look at where all the people you just mentioned are positioned. You have Sansa still in the King's Landing. You have Arya learning to be the assassin. You have Bram going on this quest. And now all these people, you would think, if you try to guess what George R. R. Martin is doing, he's also strategically placing them places.
Yes.
So where is this all? Is it too early to say where it's all going?
Well, here's my thing. Okay, because the entire series, the book series is called A Song of Ice and Fire, which means it's ending. Daenerys, so you have Daenerys over on the other side and the Freelands and the, across the Narrow Sea. Like, you have her literally so far removed from everybody else that they either know about her or they don't, like, at this point. Like, they're not really perceiving her as the threat. Like, I don't think they even really know that she has dragons, which I don't know how, but I don't think, because nobody seems to be at all concerned.
Well, she hasn't really made that much noise yet. She's kind of staying.
All she's doing is freeing slaves, and they're not going to go around yelling about it.
Whatever, everything she's doing, it's much like the, you know, the countries right now that are occupying other countries in, like, Middle East right now. U.S. could give half a fuck because it's not happening anywhere near them. We don't know what's going on there. We don't care.
Right. So I think they've dismissed her at this point as a threat. And I think the same thing, like, everybody except for the Boltons believe that Bran and Rickon are dead.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Bran's free to do this whole thing. With Arya, they don't know what's going on with her. They don't believe she's alive either. I think they either know she's missing or she's dead. Like, that's their assumption. So she's not even at all on their radar either.
I have a vague recollection of them discussing this in the middle of the previous season, just it having come up that, oh, by the way, there is a Targaryen chick and she's actually alive. But they don't consider her a threat right now.
No, they're just like, whatever, she's in the Freelands, she's not coming back over.
I think they may have discussed this before she freed that first slave city.
Definitely. Okay, so my whole thing is, like, it's called A Song of Ice and Fire. That means it's ending with one Stark and the Targaryens. I fully believe Daenerys is going to be the one who gets on the Iron Throne. She's going to be the one who takes it. Now, I also think that there's a strong possibility that Jon Snow may show up and take something. I mean, obviously, winter's going to come and everything's going to get fucked up. But, like, it's going to end with Jon Snow, Daenerys, and then Sansa, I think, is going to end up being Queen of Winterfell. I think she's going to be who takes back Winterfell with Arya. I think Arya, like, as, like, her trained assassin thing, Arya's going to go around killing all these other people. I think she's going to take Winterfell, become Queen of Winterfell. Daenerys is going to take the Iron Throne.
So you think it all comes full circle? Sansa grows a fucking spine and becomes the Queen of...
I do. I think it all comes back. I think Sansa is the one who becomes the Queen of Winterfell and the Queen in the North, and then Daenerys is the Queen of the South. I think it's going to end with them two. One of the Starks is going to be in Winterfell, and then she's going to be... The Targaryens are going to have the Iron Throne.
That would be a good ending, but only if there's also midgets in bear costumes dancing around the fire. And they're all singing a song, and they're seeing their dead father in the sky. I think that always makes for a good ending. Obviously.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They can have their the big...
They can have the, what is it, the White Walkers dancing instead.
White Walkers. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, though. There's going to be, like, this whole war in winter, too. All the shit with the White Walkers.
I don't think there's going to be war necessarily with White Walkers, at least not between, quote, the good guys and the White Walkers. I think White Walkers are being downplayed for a good reason. And yeah. I think they're going to come up to being something, they're going to come out at some point being something very different than anybody expects. Possibly they're even, like, maybe even the more evolved race, maybe much wiser.
They could be the first men that they was talking about.
So I wouldn't bet on necessarily a war with them. I think there's a reason why they're not really, they've only been mentioned and they've been kind of, we've side glanced at them. They're not yet being definitively portrayed as anything, as a violent race, as anything. They're certainly not any more violent by comparison than anyone else, possibly even less considering the little amount of carnage they've caused so far as compared to the Lannisters, let's say.
Yeah. I think all the Lannisters are going to die.
Who?
The Lannisters. I think they're all going to die. I think they're going to go the way of the Targaryens because of what they did.
If only. That would make me so happy.
Like, I'm 90% sure. Like, I'm pretty sure that because of the whole thing with, like, the Reigns of Castamere and everything they did to, like, the Martells and as well as the Targaryens, like, they're responsible for all of this. Like, I think they're all going the way of the Targaryens.
I don't think they're all going to die just because I think George R. R. Martin is going to... First of all, it's not really... It's a little too positive if all the, again, called bad guys are
off. The bad guys, yeah, that's true.
So it's quite possible that some of the Lannisters are going to survive, and if anybody does, I think it's going to be Cersei. Possibly one of her kids.
Yeah.
There's zero chance Jaime survives at the end. I mean, he's going to be around for a while, possibly all the way through the end, but he's definitely going to meet his end. Somebody's going to offer
Jaime's
him for
dying.
Something. Yeah, he's earned his right to be executed somehow.
Yeah.
And Tywin, there is zero chance he survives.
Yeah.
One would love to. Tyrion is... I'm really emotionally attached to Tyrion, and I really don't want him to go, but I have a feeling he will at some point.
I think he will, too.
Which is... Now, that's going to be a complete slap in the face.
Yeah.
because no one, there is not a one person who wants him to die. We've talked about, there are people, I forget who mentioned this to me, there are people of the vertically high challenge community who have come out and publicly stated that the way Peter Dinklage has portrayed Tyrion is, well, short of the fact that it takes place in a medieval castle, but this is what they have to go through in their everyday life, how they're being treated by others, by their family, by strangers on the street. This is pretty much how they feel, the way he does on the show. So he's very much liked and sympathized with.
Right. So that would be an issue.
That would be a small... yeah, he's not going to die soon, but when he does, it's going to be...
He's still alive in the books right now, so...
Yeah, well, again, I haven't really read past... my point is like middle or two-thirds of the third book.
Yeah.
I might need to finish it, even if it's going to spoil it for me.
You probably should just finish it.
Just finish the third one and kind of hold off on the fourth. Even though we're going through some of the events of the fourth book now.
We are.
Because they've shuffled things around.
The stuff with Bran, I think it's mostly the fourth book.
So might as well, yeah.
Yeah. So.
So again, kind of to recap, it was strong episode. I think we said the word strong 17 times last week in the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
Which was appropriate. This was another strong episode with, again, a lot of kind of subplot turns shown, which everybody conveniently forgot after Joffrey got poisoned. Which is understandable because, again, we've all been waiting for this to happen since the first episode of season one.
Yeah.
Just the second he got into the initial fight with Arya, I don't think anybody wanted him to be alive.
No, as soon as the wolf died.
Yeah, that was kind of a, yeah.
Because of him, I was like, nah.
You die now, or in 3 seasons.
Go the fuck away.
So we really...
Please, for the love of God.
Oh, please. So we finally waited
reached
long
the
enough.
Like, which, thank the fucking Lord.
And now we're going to turn our heads to the... I don't think it's going to be a big surprise or spoiler for anybody who's going to come out to be the next absolute villain, because it's the next villain in line in the books, pretty much. It's his granddaddy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to wreak havoc now, especially.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be Tywin and then Littlefinger. I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
But he's definitely going to be. I'm like, no.
So definitely looking forward to see how the Tyrion situation gets resolved. And
which... a nice trial. Got a lot of shit going on. Should we play the promo for next week and then end?
Do we have the promo for next week?
I could probably find it.
Yeah.
Let me find it. Game of Thrones.
Okay, so this is the promo for...
Take him! You did this!
Whoever killed the king wanted me to lose my head for it.
Your circumstances have improved markedly. But I would have been the queen.
Lance is all he needs to crush us. He just doesn't know it yet.
Who's going to protect you at Castle Black?
I've never heard of visions and prophecies winning a war.
I'm running out of time.
I have something to say to the people of Meereen.
Nigel! Take him! You did this!
Whoever killed the king wanted me to lose my head for it.
Your circumstances have improved markedly. I would have been the queen.
Lance has all he needs to crush us. He just doesn't know it yet.
Who's going to protect you at Castle Black?
I've never heard of visions and prophecies winning a war.
I'm running out of time.
I have something to say to the people of Meereen.
Oh.
Nigel!
I don't know why it was recorded twice in this clip. That's weird.
Oh.
Okay. It's the same thing played twice. Okay.
We'll just use one.
But, oh. Right. So hang on to your chairs. This is going to get very interesting in season 4.
I think it's a lot of shit is getting really interesting.
Oh, and appropriately, the clips of all the related shows, Once Upon a Time, season 3, episode 18 promo.
Woo!
Comes up immediately. Unrelated, I know, but it makes me very happy. All right, so thanks for tuning in and checking out the podcast. Listen to us again next week. I believe the scheduled time is Wednesdays. I think Mitch scheduled us from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Esther Necco.
I'm Ariel.
And good night.
Hour Ariel on Twitter.
Yep. Good night. We'll see you next week.
He's dead.
Dead. Dead, I tell you.
Finally.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Player in the game.